from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Very excited now to go to the BetQL guest line. Talk to our friend Mr. John Keim, ESPN Commanders insider, and of course host of the John Keim Report. Hello, Johnny. How do you do?
What up, guys? How are you?
What's up, Jay?
A little bit of breaking news in Philly. James Bradberry could be out up to 2 months.
How about that?
Plenty of our own news here, John. Cut day comes and goes. No waiver claims. They do make a relatively, for this time of year, high-profile addition in wide receiver Noah Brown. I think he helps them. I think he competes for playing time. What do you make of the Brown signing?
A couple things. So I think he fits that identity that they're looking for when you want guys who compete, who play tough and all that. I think he can help you in multiple ways. One, special teams. Two, as a receiver. If nothing else, he's a good blocker. And then we've seen him have some really good games in Houston last year. And then, he had a good final year at Dallas. So I think he's shown that he can be a contributor in that as well. So I think if he's not doing a whole lot from scrimmage, he can still help you. And he's a good blocker. So I think he fits the mindset of the kind of guys they want. The question for him is only going to be one thing. Can he stay healthy? That's been the biggest issue for him over the last couple of years, and it's why he's no longer in Houston. But if he does stay healthy, they have somebody who's definitely going to help. And I think, there are a lot of guys in that group who you say, this guy can do this, this guy can do that. So they have guys that can do things, but they don't have that strong number two guy that you say, like, you know what you're going to get here. So this just puts another guy in the mix that can do something for them.
Does it put more pressure on Cliff to be able to get the best out of the guys that can do that thing, or one thing here, one thing there? Because if you don't have a legitimate number two, you need to have multiple guys that can be experienced in other different things.
Sure, and I think where I think it's going to go is almost that number two target's probably Zach Ertz. So I think there's a way to spread it around without relying on the receivers, but we also know, they're going to use some three receiver sets. But yes, I do think it's on Cliff and then Anthony Lynn and Brian Johnson, those guys to maximize what else they have. Especially for Johnson and Cliff and Bobby Engram at the receiver position, finding out like, okay, this package is great for Zacchaeus. This one is great for Luke McCaffrey. They do different things. So, yeah, I think there's going to be something to that. But the other part is you don't want to become predictable with that either. Like a couple of years ago, you'd see Cam Sims and De'Ami Brown come into games like, well, here comes a bunch of runs. You don't want it something like that. So they're going to have to do some other things that can help, other packages, whatever. But yeah, I do think it's incumbent on them. But I also will go back to Zach Ertz. I think he's had a really good camp, and I think he can be that number two target for you in addition to McLaurin.
Dude, I think Ertz absolutely is that guy. I think Eckler's going to have a big role too. But
yeah.
Ertz has been fantastic. I think you saw a roster decision based on supporting Zach Ertz, frankly, in keeping Colson Yankoff, because Ertz isn't going to play a single snap of special teams for you.
Right.
And when you're in very clear, jumbo, hardcore running sets, I don't think he's a big option there. Like, I think they really want to manage him so that he could stay on the field. 17 games. I asked him, individual goals. He said, play 17 games. Do you agree that maybe that's why Yankoff stuck around, at least in addition to the work he put in?
Possibly. I do think one day they talked about how much they liked their depth there before. And yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to get rid of Cole Turner, which is now in the practice squad, but then you want that other guy, you're right, to play special teams. And he's a bigger guy who can run a little bit. So those guys are always valuable on those units. And, you know, he did a lot of like kick coverage and then punt coverage as well, or punt protection, punt coverage, whatever. So, you know, yeah, I think he can definitely help you there. And I do think you're right. Like, you want to keep Ertz on that field. And he's told you the same thing, too. Like, he did not feel he had to go on IR last year. He didn't feel he was that hurt. I think the Cardinals just did that. But there are going to be questions about the durability when you hit that age. They just always are. And if they can do that, I think he can be very productive. And I think he clearly feels that way. But in watching in the summer, it's like I don't know how you can come away thinking anything but, because he looked that good. Now, we'll see what it looks like against other teams, but even in the joint practices seem to do pretty well, too.
It's going to be fascinating. We also saw, John, the trade of John Ridgeway yesterday. That's a guy that has been a contributor here, has given them some meaningful and some good snaps. What do you make of that decision to kind of roll with Phil Mathis?
I thought Mathis started to do some things the last couple of weeks that maybe we haven't seen enough of lately.
Sure, ever.
And it seemed like early in camp, Ridgeway was working ahead of him. And I didn't think you'd keep two of those guys. Like, typically in Dan Quinn's defense, you're not getting a lot of the beefy fellas in the middle, right? You're going to want the Newton types who can penetrate, get to the quarterback, right? So I didn't think they'd keep both. Mathis maybe offered a little bit more penetration, and maybe Ridgeway had more value too on the open market, because there were several teams interested in him. So I think that's part of it as well. But I thought he did a nice job in that last preseason game especially, but so did Mathis. So, to me it felt like it was pretty close. And if it's pretty close, you're going to get rid of the guy who has maybe a little bit more value on the market.
John, you've been covering this team for a long time, and you've seen all types of things. You've seen people approach. What's different in this approach compared to things you've seen prior?
The approach by the organization or by whom?
I'm talking about the front office, because all the front offices prior, they baffled me.
Well, I think that's exactly it. I think the difference to me is there's an organized structure and an organized power structure, and where it's this guy or that guy, but you have the GM who's got his setup, and then it's the clearly Quinn is the coach. I think to me that is the setup is just different, and it's more conducive to a normal organization to me. And there again, I think there was a blurring of lines, even though it was a coach-centric thing the last several years. I also thought there were times where it was kind of a blurred vision, blurred responsibilities. And in the past, it would be Bruce Allen dipping his toes where he shouldn't. I think that, to me, is the best thing that they've done this offseason, is they've clarified the structure of the organization, and it feels like there's just more. I mean, this is the phrase that we heard at the initial press conference was aligned vision, but I do think there is that. And so... Yeah. I think that, to me, is the dramatic difference from, we all can tell stories of guys they've signed in the past where the coach is like, we don't want this guy. And then Bruce and Dan are like, well, too bad, here he is. And the coach, what are we doing with him? I mean, there were multiple guys like that. Like, and one of the things that they said yesterday that it was almost the reverse of what has happened here in the past was, especially mostly in the previous 20 years before the last four, but because I felt like they did, they wasn't quite as much like this last 4 years. They didn't win. They didn't draft well. There were other issues, but it was the not collecting talent, trying to build a team. That's what they're doing now. Before, I always felt like for Dan Snyder, most of his reign, it was about collecting talent, not really knowing how to build a team.
I totally agree with that, and Peter said that specifically, is that, we're focused on building a team. I think of the last 4 years, they drafted poorly, they evaluated poorly. Dan was also pretty non-existent, especially after he got, like, his double seeker probation from the league. Like, he was fairly removed. And once this joint was on the market, he was all the way removed, and nobody was spending right. a dollar. You know what I mean?
Right.
In London.
There were a lot of issues that popped up. And there were times he'd still kind of make his presence felt, you know, in some big quarterback trades, perhaps. But yes, by and large, it was better. And it's that's where it goes back to the setup, where you know, like now, like Adam Peters has a scouting staff. They are in charge of this. The coaches provide their input over here. And you're going to take things into consideration. Before, it just felt like, well, you know, which it just didn't feel like there was the strongest direction and who should be making what decision. And I think now it's different.
John, thank you for the time as always. Everybody check him out, ESPN.com for all his written content and the John Keim Report.
Got B-Mits on tomorrow. Fun talk.
Oh, how about that? All right, thank you, Johnny. We got a boogie.
Thanks, guys.
Make sure you give him a follow on X and Instagram.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.